We began the programme this morning with Mark Rodgers, who described to us how he lost his father after UFF killers drove in to the Belfast depot where his father was working and shot all round them. They would claim that they were doing so in retaliation for the Shankill bombing. And even that in itself, you know, in retaliation, let's remember what they were doing. They were killers. And they were killing innocent people. And they were shooting all around them. And the aftermath of that is that all of these years later, some 20 years later, here's another human being, citizen in Northern Ireland, without a dad. And Mark described how, as a child, he was left bereft of that pillar in your life that is your father. At 6 years old, 6 years of age, he was lifted up to see his dad lying in his coffin. His mum had told him that his father had gone to heaven to help build houses. And Mark, you're still with us this morning.
Yep, Stephen. And your last two guys, especially Gareth, because it sounds like he was very, very lucky to be alive.
I'm going to let you speak to Gareth in a second, Mark, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'll tell you why I'm doing so.
Yes.
Because it's actually remarkable what's happening on this radio show today, because people who were at the scene of the tragedy that has affected each of your lives, they're contacting us. And there's a man called Stephen who would like to speak to you, Mark. Morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Stephen.
And Stephen, how do you relate to Mark's story?
Well, I lived, I could say, on facing the vineyard on Candy Way the morning of the shooting.
Right.
And I was actually the first one over that morning.
Were you the medic, by any chance, if this is the story?
Yeah, I was trying to give first aid to your father and the other fellas that morning before the ambulances came.
Jeez. So that, what was that like, Stephen?
It still affects me to this day, to be honest with you. This is how you hear my voice.
Yeah.
But
in what way does it affect you, Stephen?
I still think about it. I still see it vividly. I was actually running across the road when the gunmen were driving away. I was like 100 yards from the gunmen that morning. And as I owned that gate, I don't know, I only had a pair of jeans on, that was it. Nothing else, no shoes, no shirt. All I had was a first aid bag and a pair of jeans. And I went in there that morning, Stephen, and I just stood on bullet casings, bullet shells everywhere. And this day, see matches, anybody striking a match, that brings it all back to my memory, the smell of sulfur.
Yeah.
So it does, and your father, Mark, if you don't mind me saying, actually died in my mother's arms.
Really? Jeez.
What do you mean, Stephen? Sorry, Stephen, what do you mean?
My mother was behind me that morning. She came over behind me, and she lifted your father, Mark. As I know, my name is Mr. Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother said, an act of contrition in his ear. And his head was on her knee.
What did she say in his ear?
Hold on, Lisa.
Can I?
An act of contrition. Can we pray in his ear before he passed away? I'm sorry.
Stephen, I would really love to meet up with you and actually share a good conversation and for you to get closer, because I would like for you to hear my own words face to face. But I'm truly grateful that at least
I don't think I get closer to this, Mark, to be honest with you.
What is it?
I couldn't get closer to this. The date I seen that morning will affect me for the rest of my life.
But maybe so, if you meet
you're a strong man, that's all I can say.
Thanks, Stephen.
I was 22 when that happened. 22, 23.
Jeez, and you're younger than me now, so it must have been perfect. And
I actually ferried people to the hospital. We let people come in, some of the men come in the RH. And I had talked to some of the men. I was actually in court and everything else over this. I had to go as a witness because I seen everything. And jeez. I know people that haven't was in the same situation as I would have faced it. I actually went for counseling and everything else. But as being a young man, you said, I don't need counseling or whatever. But it's nothing to do with me. It's to do with your father and his friends.
Yeah.
You know, but you're a very strong man, Mark.
Thanks.
For saying what you said. And, you know, my heart goes out to you. And your mother. It was a very horrible time.
Yeah.
I know you lived in Carrickeel at the time.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? You lived in Carrickeel Avenue at the time of the shooting?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the state I seen that morning, especially Mr. Cameron was the first one there. He actually opened the gates. You know, he actually tried to close the gates again, Mr. Cameron. And they kicked the gates open. And he was the first one in their lane of fire. It was, and there was people actually shot there that day. I didn't know they were shot. So, because I remember we were in the wee hut. Your father was actually shot. Your father's actually behind the road sweeper.
Yeah.
Behind a lorry.
Behind under.
Can I just stop you there one moment? Because I want to give you a... And you'll understand why I'm
yes,
doing this, Stephen. Just to stop you one moment. Mark, I'm very, very aware this morning that you're hearing things about your dad for the first time and who was with him when he died. Okay?
Yeah.
And I want to give you the option right now, and you're under no pressure from me whatsoever, and I labour that point. If you want to
stop.
If you want to stop this conversation and if you want to speak to Stephen behind the scenes, I have no problem with that. If you're comfortable with this conversation continuing on the radio, I have no problem with that either. But I want to give you the choice at this stage.
Well, my choice is for this to continue because the country needs to hear it. This is a legitimate actual event that changed people's lives, and people need to know, and me and all our relatives, everybody needs closure, including Stephen and I, because I did not know that Stephen was that affected, and that all I can do is just say that I would love to speak to him as the son of the man who he seen leave this earth. For me, just to say thank you for being with him. And I would love that opportunity for Stephen for that to happen. But if he couldn't raise the memories again, seeing me, that's okay. But in case that he sees my daddy in me or something, I don't want anything to reoccur. But that's my hand reaching out to try and help, you know, Stephen. But I'm willing for this conversation to continue because people need to hear it. And I need to hear it as a son.
See the... The grace, Mark, with which you're speaking today, it is incredible. And I mean,
well, Stephen, I've always been told that we always speak from the heart, not just the way we all are here. we're all very emotional people, all emotional, even without the troubles. But with the troubles included, look at, that's why I'm saying it, get out of control. But all that I can do is open my heart, Stephen, because it was broke when I was six, and ever since I've tried to stitch it up again. And every day I'm just trying to stitch and pain, see his name. So just keep preparing it for myself. Keep telling myself that we're going to move forward. And I hope people are listening. Actual people who need to realize what's going on around them. They need to open their eyes and actually see. Not look, see. And Stephen, your show's great for it. You're right down the middle. You give people like us the opportunity to do it.
And that's what the BBC's for, Mark. Stephen.
Hello.
Mark is... I think Mark's choice. He wants to hear this, and he wants other people to hear it. So that day, you've painted an image where these people come in and they, these UFF killers, these loyalist killers, all they wanted to do was kill.
Yep, that was all the thing on their mind. I'll tell you how it all happened. See, where I was living, they were doing work on houses. They were actually renovating the houses, the housing executive. And it was actually about 7:30 in the morning it was. Never forget it. Because I remember it was, my father usually gets his lift right outside that council table. And the van man, and my dad got a lift with the van. And he rang and says, look, Sean, I've slept in. There's no point in standing out there. I'll just be behind outside on Candy Way. So, if that van man had to slap in that morning, my father would probably have been shot dead as well. Down waiting on his lift. So, somebody was looking over my father that morning. And I'll never forget that. But I shouted, no way, they're starting the early way. I'm Kango. I actually thought it was Kango hammers were knocking walls down with in the houses. That's what it sounded like when you were sleeping in the back room of the house. And that's the night bounced up, and Mum shouted, they're shooting in the vineyard, they're shooting in the vineyard. And as I bounced up, I seen a car sitting outside. I can actually tell you what kind of car it was and what color. It was actually a gold Citroen C5, a big long one, sitting outside the vineyard. And I seen the two gunmen in the vineyard. And one of them actually emptied his magazine of two AK-47s. And they emptied their magazines. And one of their guns actually jammed. They couldn't get it cocked again. And the other one reloaded another magazine into his gun. And emptied that as well. And walked out. Closed the gate. Walked away and walked back and looked back in the gate again. And then got into the car. And as they were turning... Some of you turned Candy Way and drove down as that I was on the cross. And they weren't going to let me into the vineyard. They had the gates all jammed. And I said, look, I'm here to do first aid, live across the street. And they let me in. And as I say, the scene that morning was just... There's cases everywhere. And the smell of sulfur in the air was unreal. And I just... Every time I talk about it, just more things come back to me. What happened? And as I say, I seen Mr. Cameron. He was laying in the middle of the yard. Excuse me. I'm not even going to describe what he was like. And then, sorry, I was on the boat trying to find people. And as I say, Mark, I seen your father laying behind the road sweeper.
Yeah.
He was actually, the bullet actually went through the road sweeper and hit him. When he wasn't actually in their line of sight, the way they were just spraying it, they were just emptying magazines the whole way around the yard because the men were running everywhere and they were just wagging bullets everywhere. And unfortunately, it went through the road sweeper and hit your father in the chest.
I actually heard about that scene, and that I heard that he wasn't bleeding. He was very clean.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't bleeding at all. And I don't know why. The scene I seen was not of your father, Mark, but of other men that were shot. I don't know why people find this gruesome or thing, but I mean, I seen men that were laying behind it. I don't know why you were in the bin. They were in that control yard or not. If you went in, there were skips over the right hand side.
Yeah.
The vineyard. And yeah. I don't know half or anything. I have talked to people who was in that yard that morning. And I know a fella has been, I forget his name now, I was talking to him the other week. He's read columns in the paper.
Yeah.
I've heard it.
Can I say that there will be some people, I'm actually thinking about this out loud. I'm sharing this my thoughts with you this morning, kind of presenting this program, right? There will be some people, Mark and Stephen, who think that I'm allowing this to cross the line today in terms of the graphic nature that you're describing of the injuries, Stephen.
Yeah.
But actually, the judgment that I'm making sitting here today is this. Let this be heard across the country.
Yes.
And if parents want their children to hear it, let them hear it. Let them hear about what happens to the human body when people decide to kill. Because sometimes it's too easy for us to become indifferent to the word dead, to the word murder, to the word shooting, to bombing, to killing in Northern Ireland. And that's the judgment that I'm making sitting here today.
Well, see, I think if you see the words are words, pictures are pictures, and pictures stick in your mind.
I mean, something has just happened here. Sorry to interrupt, Mark and Stephen, but there's another man now. This is quite extraordinary, who was at that shooting that day, who's just contacted the programme.
Jesus.
He was shot. His name is Dan. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Dan.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? Good
morning.
It's been not too bad, Dan, yourself.
Okay, I'm going to bear on.
What happened to you, Dan?
Oh, I was in the shooting that morning, Steve, that had happened. I was sitting with Mark when the two boys come in, and then it just took off from there. It just everything went haywire, more or less. The train, the rifles forced on Mr. Cameron because he was standing at the front of the bin lorry. And then the sort of, as Steve was saying, they sort of spread it around. But me and Mark were sitting on two chairs, and one hit my arm and threw my arm, and one hit the wall. And
I want to be really careful this morning.
Yep, yep. Okay? I know that lodger.
I want to protect Stephen this morning.
Yes, yep.
Stephen, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. And is Mark's okay with
Sorry, Mark, are you okay?
Yeah.
Dan, I don't want you to go into any more graphic
detail.
No. I don't about Mark. I really don't. And his dad.
Yes, so I understand that 100%. There's three kids here myself. I mean, I was the same age as Mark when it happened. I was the same age. I had three kids at the time. So it's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. I mean, there was five men. We got locked out of the canteen, and there was five of us under that lorry. Five men under that lorry. And things just happened to me over my life. Things just went wrong and things. And you forget about things, and you don't forget about things. And the one thing that I don't forget about that morning is the five men on that vineyard for a split second while them boys was reloading. So don't put yourself in that position. I wouldn't like to put anybody in that position.
So you were hiding under that lorry, and there.
I had my head up in the back cover of the axle. My face was covered in grease and oil, and all these men underneath that lorry were trying to cover each other with each other, if you understand that. They were pulling each other. Because I was the last one under, obviously I was at the top. So when they come round the back of the lorry and reloaded again, I was pushed out to look out. And when I looked, the two of them were standing behind the lorry, reloading. And the boy with the machine gun was shooting through the head of every one of them, through the head of every one of them. That's what he was shooting. And I looked him straight in the face. And when I got up and I run to the front of the lorry and stood and, Holy Mary, more God, sent us down a couple of bob to get out. And the three of our boys run towards the skip. And the boy with the machine gun fully damaged. And they turned his head a half a click to the left. He had seen me standing at the side of the lorry. But he wasn't interested in me. He was interested in the three lads that was on the skip. And he opened up an empty and he hit one of the lads in the back of the knee, stood masted, and the back end of his trousers blew out. And this boy fell down, squealing. And then I just decided, where's this other boy with the AK? Is he coming round the back or the front? So I just started running towards the gate. And as I run towards the gate, I noticed Mr. Cameron lying on the ground. And okay. The boy just...
Dan. Okay, I want you to stop there. Thank you, Dan. Are you sure, Mark?
Thanks, Tom.
Are you sure with the... with the brutality that you have heard today? What do you think about the people who did that?
They're just evil. Like, there actually isn't even a word to describe them, but just emotionless. They mustn't have any emotional level whatsoever, because I'm glad to hear the detail, because there's no way that a guy would tell a lie like that. So that has to be honest truth, and that's what happened. And the truth needs to be told. And that's what happened on the day.
Stay there, Mark.
Thanks very much, Dan, for letting the people hear. Even though it's traumatizing.
Stay there, Mark. Stay there. Stephen, stay there. Andy. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Hello?
I'm listening, Andy. What are your thoughts here this morning as you listen to this programme?
Just to say, Stephen, I mean, my family has never been affected by the Troubles, but this past few days I have been listening to all these stories from both sides of the so-called divide, and I just would like to commend these men for their honesty and their bravery in coming on to talk. I'm not ashamed to say it. Tears have rolled down my cheeks as I've listened to this here, to the human side, the grief. And this is 20 years after the events happened. It's been very moving. And somehow we need to bring closure to all these things. And I just have, you know, one thing to say, you know, hatred in this country, it's sadly like a cancer. It's corrosive. It doesn't achieve anything. And I just think of the words of Christ, to love our enemies. And I just wish all of us, from whatever side of the divide we are in this country, could put the other community first, their needs, instead of looking at them as being different people, just being the same as ourselves, human beings. I have a 9-year-old son, and I'm 47 now. I hope and pray he never, ever has to experience what these men have gone through. So,
Andy, thank you. Mark, you paid tribute to Gareth this morning, who was on the programme describing how he was blown up in the Shankill bomb.
Yeah.
So he was blown up by the IRA, and your dad was killed, Mark, by the UFF during that awful week. When I was a little boy, well, I wasn't, was I? But I was a young man, and I didn't fully understand as much as I understand now. I think that's a better way of putting it. I was in my late teens. Mark, Gareth is still there. Morning, Gareth, again.
All right, Gareth.
All right, Mark.
What are your thoughts, Gareth, as you've listened to Mark's story this morning?
It's horrific, really. I couldn't put myself in his shoes. I'm 6 feet above ground and able-bodied. I don't know what it's like to lose someone close, so... I can only just imagine how he felt growing up. As I say, I'm here. I'm grateful to be here. And I just think it's a terrible story.
Do you know, I wonder how many people, Mark, this morning are wondering, are thinking to themselves, for all that's wrong with the political process, actually, this is what we can't go back to. This is what the politicians are fighting to stop ever happening again. This is why Martin McGuinness and Peter Robinson and others are in that assembly together. No matter how much they disagree, they're trying to stop any of this happening again.
I support them all the way. And I'm for Power Sharon. There's no way we can move on without Power Sharon. We need each other. We need each other. And no matter what, none of our history is going away, because we'll all have our history and we all need to celebrate it as one. And with no trouble, just move on. And it's very, very hard, but we need to work on the new generation growing in.
Mark, can I say to you today that, first of all, thank you.
Thanks, Stephen, too.
I know that you've heard this morning how your father, in the last moments of his life, was comforted by Stephen, the other caller on the line, and by someone who was with him.
It's really cheered me up hearing that he has words of wisdom and words of probably a meaning to my father at the end last moments that meant more than 1,000 words. Because what was going through his mind was probably euphoric, Stephen, and I hope it was the most peaceful way to leave this earth, because when he left, there was still trouble left behind him.
Mark,
it continued and continued.
Mark, thank you, sir. Thank you so, so much. And I repeat again, the grace and the dignity and the reaching out with which you have spoken today is simply incredible. Gareth, thank you. Stephen, thank you.